It's February and love is in the air, but will it last? Love that is based on looks, pleasure, fun, good times, wealth, health, etc. won't last. Godly love, though, isn't based on circumstances. Godly love involves an act of the will. Children and families in America desperately need for husbands and wives to commit to love one another as Christ has loved them. With God's help, you can love your spouse until death do you part.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are continuing our sermon series entitled A Love Worth Waiting For and Remaining Faithful To. And in previous weeks, we have actually talked about how are we going to define truth when we look at this subject, with what should be allowed and what should not be allowed with intimate relationships with people. Some people are engaging in intimate relationships with people of the opposite sex, and some people with even people of the same sex, or some are even switching back and forth. What is right and what is wrong, and what should we do? How should we behave? What is the standard? Well, we actually looked at the Word of God and looked at the Word of God for our standard, because the Word of God is truth. God's Word is truth. Jesus is truth. And we need to look to the Word of God first and foremost in every area of life, not to look at what society says, not to look at what other people say, not to look at what celebrities say or what movies say is good and true, what a book would say or what you know, even a self-help person would write about, but to look at, to base first and foremost everything that we believe on the Word of God. And then last week, we actually started talking about physical intimacy. And we're going to do this, even as we did last week, in an appropriate manner and as discreet as we can. The Bible very often is very discreet on this topic. The Bible uses a term such as know, that Adam knew his wife, and that is talking really about the ultimate form of knowing or the ultimate form of intimacy. We use the word intimacy or physical intimacy, the phrase physical intimacy, to speak of this act of the man going into a woman. That's another phrase that the Bible uses. The Bible does also, though, use some terms that are a little bit more steamy, but we will still try to keep this as discreet as possible and be as considerate of the young people that might be listening. What we started talking about last week, and you know, there are many people out there that actually say, well, God is a cosmic killjoy. He just doesn't want us to have any fun. He's telling us, don't do this, don't do that. And really, what we need to realize is that God created us, and that God created physical intimacy for our pleasure. He could have created children and created the world so that children came anyway. There's a concept that children come from storks, that storks deliver children, and that's the way it could have happened. You know, it could have, children could come down from outer space, or they could pop out of rocks or out of flowers, but God created for children to come from a woman after a man encompasses her, after a man goes into her and knows her and practices this physical intimacy, the what some people would call the act of marriage. And we see in Genesis chapter 2 that God had created Adam. He also created the birds of the air. He created the beasts of the field. He brought them to Adam. Adam named them, yet there wasn't found anyone that was compatible to him and could help him. So what happened was we see that God actually created, had Adam fall asleep, and took a rib out of his side and made a woman. And many people, and of course, Adam named her woman. And many people, I've heard people say that Adam looked at her and said, whoa, man, she was beautiful to him. And God created her that way. God created her to be desireful to Adam. But God designs for this intimacy to happen in the bond of marriage between one man and one woman. And we see in Jesus, by the way, said this in the New Testament, that from the beginning, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And that's what we see here in Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 19 through 25. We read that last week, that a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This one flesh covenant, this the two becoming one. And we read how they were both naked and were not ashamed. And they also didn't have any impure thoughts. You know, and imagine if Adam and Eve hadn't sinned and no one else had sinned, we would actually be not wearing clothes today and we would not be thinking impure thoughts about people. But because of sin, we do have impure thoughts. And those thoughts are thoughts that focused in the right direction of a husband toward his wife or a wife toward her husband are noble and holy and something that are virtuous, but focused on someone that we are not married to is actually sin. And we're going to look at this. We see that in chapter 3, we referenced last week in chapter 3 that the serpent, the devil, who was taking the form of a serpent, tempted Eve so that she would know good from evil, and of course she would know good and evil by defining what is good and evil, as opposed to accepting God's definition of what is good and evil, and then in chapter 4 of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 1, we see that Adam knew his wife. And that, by the way, is the same word, the same Hebrew word for knowing, that he knew his wife, the same word for knowing good and evil. And so this is really the ultimate form of knowing your wife. And then we looked at Proverbs 5, and I want to ask you to turn with me to Proverbs 5. We didn't get through that chapter last week. But this is where we really see not only, you know, we see some warning about the immoral woman. And as we mentioned last week, that if you're a woman, you can flip this and look at this as a warning about the immoral man. If you are someone who is tempted by homosexual relationships, relationships that God, by the way, says are sin, you can look at this and you can portray someone of the same sex even, because God doesn't want that for you. God has different things for you, things where you can actually follow his commandments and his precepts and be set free from sin. But in Proverbs chapter 5, we'll read quickly the first few verses that we went over last week for reference. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and that your lips may keep knowledge. One of the things you'll see in the book of Proverbs is you'll see wisdom. You'll see us paying attention to wisdom and paying attention to understanding. You'll see a emphasis on instruction, an emphasis on discretion, and knowledge that comes from God. And we are told to seek after wisdom, to seek after understanding, to seek after knowledge, and not just any knowledge, but the knowledge, again, that comes from God, the knowledge that comes from hearing and obeying His Word. And we go on here, and we see that that you may preserve discretion, that your lips may keep knowledge. Verse 3, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. So an immoral woman looks and tastes sweet and tastes and looks smooth, but in verse 4, in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So you see that there's an allurement, there is an enticing, and there's a pleasure that comes with this intimacy. Even if it's immoral, there is still pleasure for a moment, but the end is death. The end is, she is bitter as wormwood and sharp as a two-edged sword. Verse 5, her feet go down to death, and her steps lay hold of hell. Hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. So we see that there's a consequence and there's an end, and that end is death. That end is hell. And that is the end for every person that doesn't follow God's commandments and God's precepts. And certainly none of us fully are capable of following God's commandments and precepts. So all of us are guilty, and all of us will end up dying and facing the judgment of God and going to hell and being tormented forever and ever and ever, unless you repent of your sins, confess your sins to God, and ask God to forgive you, and the blood of Jesus Christ washes your sins and makes you clean. And God does a work in your life to help you to become more like Him, to be holy, even as He is holy. Not that you'll ever be as holy as God or as perfect as God, but that's our goal. That's what we're pushing for. And we need to realize that there's a consequence to following after the immoral woman, or again, if you're a woman, following after the immoral man. There's a consequence of that, and the consequence is death and hell. The consequence is wormwood, bitter as wormwood, and sharp as a two-edged sword. And we see in verse 8, remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. So here we see that discretion coming and taking hold here, to not go near the door of her house, to remove your way far from her. So you know where she lives, you know that she's there, you know that she wants to allure you, you know that she wants to entice you to come in, you know that she will look pleasant, that she will smell pleasant, that if you go there and you go her way and you go into her, that it will be pleasant for a while, but he's warning there's a consequence to this. And so he says, don't even go near the her path. Just avoid that way. And this really is discretion. This is using wisdom. This is using knowledge, knowing that she is there, knowing that she will actually try to entice you, and knowing that you could actually go a different way and totally avoid the temptation. You know, you should never place yourself in a situation where you can fall, where you can sin, where you will be in a situation where you may be weak and you may give in to someone who is enticing you to do something that is wrong. In this case, we're talking about, again, physical intimacy that is impure and unjust and apart from God's standard. And he says, don't even go near the door of her house. You know, take a different way. Take a different path. Don't answer her call. Don't go near where she is. Just go a different way, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel one. So you see, there's a consequence that if you listen, if you are enticed and you succumb to that enticement to do something that you know God God doesn't approve of, that you actually will give your years to the cruel one, that your honor will go to others. In verse 10, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. So we see here financial consequences over this as well. And boy, if you are someone who has been involved in an illicit affair, you know that there are financial consequences. Very often, when two people are not married, quite often what can happen is you can have a baby that's conceived. Well, what happens then? Well, then you are a father. The man is a father. The woman is a mother. Sometimes they say, well, I'm not ready to become a father. I'm not ready to become a mother. But you already are a father. You can pay an abortionist to kill your offspring, to kill your own child. But you already are a father. The question is, are you going to take responsibility for your actions and raise this child and love this child? Or are you, and love this woman, or are you going to actually pay an abortionist to rip your baby limb from limb and to crush your baby's skull? That's the question that we see here. And lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. Then you see that there are people today that actually are married, and they've had illicit affairs with someone they're not married to, and they're actually having to pay for the support of more than one household. So there's a financial consequence, even in our world today, there's a financial consequence to doing something that is not right, to not waiting until marriage, and not being faithful to your spouse in marriage. In verse 11, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed. And so we see that there's even a physical consequence to this. There are many people today in our country that are suffering with venereal diseases because they have not been faithful to do what God has called them to do. They have not been faithful to wait until marriage. And in marriage, they have not been faithful to their spouse. And there are women today that are suffering from cervical cancer because their husbands weren't faithful also. Sometimes they were faithful, but their husbands weren't faithful. And they contracted HPV, which is the easiest to contract STD or STI, depending on what acronym you want to use. And it's something that condoms don't protect against at all. And it's very, very easy to contract this. And it's the leading cause of cervical cancer in women. And there are women that have died from this because of being unfaithfulness, either on their own part or perhaps on the part of someone that they are joining with. And so you see your flesh and your body being consumed in verse 12, and you say, how I have hated instruction and my heart despised correction. So realizing at the end, when it's really too late, that you hated instruction, that you were instructed in the right way, you knew the right way, you were taught the right way, but you chose to go your own way anyway, and you realize, I did what was wrong. I should have listened to instruction. I should have loved correction. The Bible tells us to love correction instead of hating correction. But instead, I hated correction. In verse 11, I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. So, you know, earlier we talked about lending our ear to understanding, paying attention to wisdom, preserving discretion, allowing our lips to keep knowledge. But we see in the end, if we don't do that, if we go our own way, if we violate God's commandments, if we reject instruction, if we don't listen and we despise correction, if we don't obey the voice of our teachers that are teaching us to do what is right, and we don't incline our ears to those who are instructing us to do right, there's a consequence to this. In verse 14, I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and congregation. So in the midst of the house of God, or in that time, the congregation, the entire nation of Israel, was the congregation of God. And in being in total ruin, having the full consequence of your sin come upon you. In verse 15, he starts to encourage a different way. Drink water from your own cistern and running wells from your own water, or running water from your own wells. So he's saying here, and he's using analogies and word pictures. Don't go out and go with the immoral woman. Wait for your spouse. And in marriage, be faithful to your spouse. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Should you just go out and you know, share your love and be physically intimate with people that you're not married to, people that are you haven't entered into covenant with? And one person one time and another person another time. You know that what happened in the 60s, the idea that you can do whatever you want to do with whomever you want to do, it became very popular. And then in the 70s, it's no surprise that in the 70s, we had abortion on demand, the killing of innocent human beings that were being created from these illicit affairs, from these illicit activity. And to even today, the majority of abortions are on babies that were conceived out of wedlock. And we see here going on in verse 16, should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be your own and not for strangers with you. So keep what you have, keep this precious treasure to yourself before you're married, and to your spouse, share with your spouse when you are married. And in verse 19, as a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love. So we see here that God has created this physical intimacy. He's created the pleasure, and he wants us to explore this pleasure in marriage, which again, for young people that aren't married, means waiting, being patient, using self-control, waiting until that time when we can be joined with our spouse. And for those who are married, it means being faithful to your spouse, and not just being faithful to your spouse here, but it says here that we are to be enraptured with love. We are to rejoice in the wife of our youth. So when we are married, and I've talked about this in the past, that some of our customers have pictures on their desk at their office of their wife on their wedding day to remind them of the wife of their youth and how they need to be faithful to her, and they need to rejoice in her, to not just, you know, say, well, you know, here she is. I don't like it when she does this, and I don't like it when she does that. I don't like it when she does this. No, we need to rejoice in the wife of our youth. That's the one you chose, and you need to rejoice in her. And as a loving deer and as graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times, and always be enraptured with her love, just consumed with the love of your wife. And she should be consumed with the love of you as well. And you should not be sharing this with other people. This is something that God created for you, for a husband and a wife. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? So we should not do this. We should do things God's way. not the way of the world. And the way of the world brings guilt. It brings consequences. It brings even condemnation. It brings financial consequences. It brings physical consequences. And it brings children into this world that are going to grow up without a father, sometimes without a mother. And we need to do things God's way. We need to wait until marriage. We need to be faithful to our spouse, and not just be faithful to our spouse, but to be enraptured with her love and to allow her body to satisfy us, as opposed to looking at other women, whether it's physically or just in your mind and fantasizing. God doesn't want that. He wants us to be pure and holy. In verse 21, "For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man. He is caught in the cords of his sins. He shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." So we see that God knows, God sees our eyes, the eyes of every man are before the Lord. He ponders our paths. He knows what we do. He knows how we live. He knows what you're doing even when you're alone with that someone. He knows that you are there, and God will bring that to judgment. He'll bring your actions to judgments, and the iniquities entrap a wicked man. He is caught in the cords of his own sin because he hasn't listened to wisdom and instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he goes astray. So God has created this goodness, this blessing for our goodness, or for our pleasure, and he wants us to be able to enjoy this physical intimacy, this knowing, this going into this ultimate form of knowing, ultimate form of physical intimacy, but only, as he says, between one man and one woman. So we need to wait until marriage, to discipline ourselves, to wait until marriage, and to be faithful in marriage, and to allow God to bless us, and to always be enraptured with the wife of our youth. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
It's February and love is in the air, but will it last? Love that is based on looks, pleasure, fun, good times, wealth, health, etc. won't last. Godly love, though, isn't based on circumstances. Godly love involves an act of the will. Children and families in America desperately need for husbands and wives to commit to love one another as Christ has loved them. With God's help, you can love your spouse until death do you part.